Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites.
Well, for good or bad, this is the season of revival mania on New York stages. At least a dozen shows have either recently opened or are about to. The good news is that younger generations are being introduced to great works, and that many of the older shows offer actors big and challenging roles. So we are seeing names like Glenda Jackson, Denzel Washington, Nathan Lane, and Andrew Garfield as we speak. The bad news, well, it means there are simply fewer venues welcoming new and original voices. But it is what it is, and I saw two of the new old ones this week, and they have not lost their power. In fact, it may even be enhanced. Well, this being the Me Too year, let's start with Three Tall Women, which is the title of Edward Albee's 1994 play that last played here off-Broadway, but now is at the Golden Theater. Due, I imagine, to the starry cast of Glenda Jackson at the age of 81, Laurie Metcalf, and Alison Pill, all former award winners and or nominees. Metcalf won last year's Tony for Best Actress, and along with Jackson, will surely be nominated again this time. Metcalf is a master of lines like, "It's been downhill from 16 for all of us." And she gets a lot of them in this hour and 45-minute one-act piece. Now, it's not news that men can write women well, but Albee here wrote a trio of really unique and relatable ones. The character played by Alison Pill is in her 20s, Metcalf's is in her 50s, Jackson's is either 91 or 92, depending on who you believe. "Why would you lie about 1 year?" the young woman asked the oldest in the room. "What kind of vanity is that?" There's a lot of good humor in this play, but also pathos and a deep understanding of what it feels like to watch your life go by. We hear plenty of sentiments like, "I can't remember what I can't remember." But most especially, it's about women and all the roles they are asked to play. In this case, spoiler alert, it turns out to be one woman. Yes, Glenda is the final result, portraying a wealthy widow on the cusp of her own death. Laurie is the wisecracking and wise caretaker, stuck in the sandwich between generations. And Allison's portraying a representative from a legal office who is the epitome of the arrogance and naive ignorance of youth. "Whatever evil and loss comes, won't it be balanced out?" she asks. She's determined not to become like either of the others, though, of course, she becomes exactly who they are. There is a son briefly seen, not heard, who had a terrible relationship, obviously, with his mother, returning far too late into her life. There isn't enough information on that score to make much of an impact. All three actresses perform exquisitely, and it really is a privilege to see Glenda Jackson on stage in our country. She won two Oscars, remember, then essentially retired from acting as she veered into politics in England for 23 years. She returned there last year in the title role of King Lear. Yes, you heard that right. Anyway, what a joy to hear her spout lines like, "We cheat because we're lonely. Men cheat because they're men." It kind of makes you realize she may have changed over the decades, but many things have not. Well, the audience for Three Tall Women is understandably primarily female and was written by a man. Quite a contrast to the other show, or more accurately, shows that I saw this week, that being Tony Kushner's Pulitzer Prize-winning Angels in America, for which the audience is heavily male and is directed by a woman named Marianne Elliott. She's a Brit who also helmed Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime. Angels in America is making its first Broadway return in 25 years. Now, as you may recall, this is a two-night or all-in-one-day event. The first called Millennium Approaches, the second Perestroika. Each performance is almost 4 hours in length with two intermissions. The story takes place in the Reagan era, the mid-80s, when AIDS was a horrid plague and homosexuality still pretty locked in the closet. Tony Kushner has admitted he worried that the play would not be as relevant today, but then he realized he was also talking about icebergs melting and the world coming to an end. Not to mention, a key figure in this theatrical saga is Roy Cohn, who was a mentor and hero to our current president. Yuck. Angels in America is clearly not for everyone. It is an eight-hour commitment. There are angels of all sizes and creepy colors coming down from above. And there are long, loud political rants. So much to chew on here. Definitely not your mother's Sunday afternoon matinee. Tony Kushner gave us a mind-boggling feat of pure imagination. That cannot be denied. And the crowd cheers and cheers until their hands are sore. I can tell you it pretty much all works, most especially the cast. Nathan Lane is Roy Cohn, the cagey lawyer who lies about his own disease. Homosexuals have zero clout. I have clout. Andrew Garfield is Prior Walter, the central character who was diagnosed with AIDS early on. I'm a legionnaire, he says. They are the stars, but other actors do incredibly superb work, including Lee Pace as the most conflicted character sexually, and Denise Goff as his fragile and Valium-addicted wife. And attention must be paid to Amanda Lawrence and Sharon Brown, each taking on multiple roles, including a male rabbi and, believe it or not, Ethel Rosenberg coming back to haunt Roy Cohn. James McArdle is funny, charismatic, and impassioned in the key role of Lewis, a stark liberal. I decided to like you because you're the only unfriendly Mormon I ever met. You're talking law, I'm talking justice, are a few of the things he says. His religion is a constant and key component. The actor himself does not seem inherently Jewish, but I have to assume there was consciousness in that casting. The anti-stereotypical persona, perhaps. There are so many other dazzling sentiments in Kushner's work here that one can't begin to recall them. In the new century, I think we will all be insane, says one character. I don't like the Reagan conversation, says another. Well, it gets worse, comes the reply. Well, theater doesn't get much more daring and beautifully written and performed than what I saw this past week. So whatever we may think about revivals, by the way, it was announced this week that Ethan Hawke and Paul Dano are coming back in True West. Well, when they come back and are done this well, they may even shed new light on topics that seem anything but dated. And Jill, who can kvetch about that, right?
No one can kvetch about that, and it's just, you know, as people evolve and as life goes on and as culture evolves, it's actually rather important to bring back the ones that have resonance, if only to inspect them under the, you know, under the, let's just say, the glow of current events. And I've always been one for that.
Yeah.
Just period. Because the other night I was talking to somebody randomly, and I was quoting the poem Father William from Alice in Wonderland, Lewis Carroll. Mm-hmm. And he is in his mid-30s, and he said, what's that from? And I said, you know, Alice in Wonderland. And he goes, really? I said, yeah, Lewis Carroll. I said, of course, you know, if in this age, Lewis Carroll had his own, shall we say, issues that, you know, if it were today, then he'd be excoriated and publicly humiliated, because that's what we do.
Yeah.
But you know, it doesn't.
Also, probably, you know.
By the way, that was my other example.
Oh, okay.
Within the confines of this conversation, but we were laughing because the person I'm talking about lives in Paris, and he's just sort of while he's a born and bred New Yorker, he's just sort of watching with a with his eye sort of like, huh, you know, because
Yeah, because, no, it's an interesting time right now. I mean, I think this has to be a record, even off-Broadway. There are three or four shows that are old ones, you know, being brought back. But, you know, listen, what's the new show that opened last week? Frozen. Well, okay. Between the Disney shows, I think that makes four Disney shows up now, and maybe four jukeboxes. And then the long-time running shows, The Phantoms and Chicago's, there are very few theaters available. I talked to another critic this week, Michael Riedel, who said, it's such a clog right now. He said, that's really what's keeping new things from coming on. It's just, can't find a theater right now. And the fact that there are 12 revivals, you know, there are some people who might say, God, you know, too many of the old ones. But I'll tell you, when they're good like these two are, and, you know, Angels in America is really an amazing, as I said, an amazing feat of imagination, how anybody would sit down and write that and think that way. I don't know. And Tony Kushner is still an amazingly great writer, but he hasn't done anything since. And I think he was just quoted saying, I already know my obit, what the first line of my obit is. No, this is the one he's going to be remembered for. It's 25 years ago. He's certainly done other things since, but nothing like this.
But the fact that it comes up and it more than survives the test of time suggests that, you know, that's worthy. And sometimes you don't have to do it all over. If you've done it, you've done it. You know, it was, I just remember at that time, there was Angels in America. There was Nicholas Nickleby.
Yep.
I'm not saying the exact day. I'm just saying, and those took theater into a different dimension, if you will.
Yeah,
and then many years went by, and then there was Hamilton.
Right. A real groundbreaker.
Right, for lack of a better word. So, you know.
These are events, the Nicholas Nickleby and this one, the eight-hour events, they're pretty rare as well they should be. But you know what? There I was, and there wasn't a seat available, and the tickets are selling. So there's obviously an audience for it. The truth is there may be more of an audience for Angels in America now because the whole issue of AIDS and gays, there's just more of them, and they're proudly out there. And this definitely speaks to them, and it's still very, very... very of the moment. For something 25 years old, it's hard to say that, but it's of the moment.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.